Brandon Marcello of the Jackson Clarion Ledger joins us. Brandon, good afternoon. How are you?
Great. How are you guys?
We're doing good. We're doing good. Tell us a little bit about this Mississippi State Bulldog team that Dan Mullen has been able to assemble.
Well, they got off that 7-0 start, one I think a lot of people predicted, but then they had this three-game losing streak, which wasn't too surprising considering the talent they were going against A&M, Alabama, and LSU, but they're looking to kind of bounce back. There's some disappointment in the locker room right now and also among the fan base. They're hoping that they could be at least competitive in these three games, and I think it was really disheartening to them the way they lost against Alabama and, of course, A&M getting blown out at home.
You look at Mississippi State and averaging their leading rusher, Perkins, averaging 89.33 yards per game. Russell at quarterback, passing efficiency around 139.21. Bumpus receiving-wise, 67.6 yards per game. Bell averaging over 6 points per game, just a little bit. And Lawrence at leading the way defensively at 8.7 total tackles per game. What makes this Bulldog team go? We've seen the struggles that Russell's had before, but has he gotten better as he's progressed through this season?
Yeah, in fact, he's probably, with the history of quarterbacks here, he's probably one of the better ones and probably will end up leaving as the best one. He's already set one record for touchdown passes in a season. There's not a lot of quarterback history at Mississippi State, and he's kind of trying to break that mold. He's been pretty consistent of late, even when he's getting knocked around in the backfield. I've been very impressed with him, and it still remains to be seen what they can do in the running game. They have struggled in the running game the last three games against these big defenses and these big defensive lines. They've been held under 100 yards each time, something that hasn't happened in quite a long time here for a team that's been known to be able to run the ball. But I think Tyler Russell's done very well. He's got a lot of senior receivers. And Chad Bumpus right now, he leads the SEC with 8 touchdown grabs. So I think they're doing a pretty good job offensively through the air.
Now, do you think Mullins has given Russell, does he have the whole playbook? Because when I watch a few games, it seems sometimes they're kind of taking care of him a little bit instead of just kind of letting him go out there and just check at the line and do a lot of things. And that's why he has been very successful. And do you think Mullins is kind of trying to put him in the best situation to win instead of, hey, let's make some plays here?
Well, I think in this LSU game, if you guys watched the LSU game, he made a lot of checks at the line. I recall even probably a mistake of his, is 3rd and 2. He checked into a quarterback sneak, got up to the line, and didn't make it. But they've given him a lot of free rein in the offense as far as making some checks. I think the one thing, though, that's really limited him is that they don't have a deep threat on this team, a guy that can go down and stretch the field. And they have to attack the middle of the field with their tight ends quite a bit, and they just can't really stretch the field, which has hurt them a little bit. He's been blitzed a lot. They've been getting pressure. I think Tyler, probably you'll see him hit the ground maybe 15 times a game. He's just getting rocked all the time. But I think that what makes them do so well is that he's, as I said, he's got some senior receivers. He's got guys been in the offense for about 4 years. But as I said, I think what's limiting them a little bit is that they just still do not have that option of a guy who can run down the sideline and they can just throw it up to him.
Brandon, looking at the stats, Mississippi State leads the SEC in one category. They're 8th in the country. And on the opposite side of that, Arkansas is 105th in the country and 14th in the SEC, and that is turnover margin. We saw how big turnovers were in the game with A&M and Alabama this weekend. Your thoughts on how Mississippi State is able to create the advantage there in turnovers?
Yeah, I mean, Mississippi State really built that up during their 7-game winning streak to start the season. They were number one in the nation for, I think, 3 weeks in turnover margin. They've kind of taken a hit. They've lost it, two of these last 3 games, and they tied it against A&M. They haven't been able to win that battle. But when they face teams of, on equal footing, they seem to just always dominate that. They do a really good job protecting the football. The running backs just do not fumble the football at Mississippi State. And Tyler Russell, he's thrown some picks these last 3 games. But before that, yeah, he had an incredible touchdown interception ratio. I think at one point it was 13-1. He had 13 touchdown passes with only one pick. They need to try and settle him down a little bit. But I think what's hurt them is that they've gone against you know, some of the better defenses in the country with LSU and Alabama these last 3 weeks. And I think for them, you'll see that turnover margin go up once again for them. And that's really what was getting them through that seven-game winning streak. And I think they'll be able to do that again these last 2 weeks of the regular season against Arkansas and Ole Miss.
Arkansas has struggled a little bit on special teams this year. Do you look at this game for Mississippi State's to have a good chance to maybe get a kick return for a touchdown? Or how do you feel about your special teams right now and being able to make an impact in this game against the Hogs?
You know, it's interesting. State's really struggles in special teams as well as far as kick coverage. They've allowed two touchdown returns in that in SEC games this season. They let LSU get good field position all throughout the night last week. But their kick returns, they've been getting very close these last few weeks to busting one. It seems like they're just one tackle away from making it, and they get like a 30 or 40 yard return. So that could be big in this game. They've really been missing that a little bit, and they seem to be getting a lot better with that with Jamion Lewis and Ladarius Perkins back there returning kicks. So that could be, as you said, it could be a big key in this game when it comes to field position.
Brandon, Arkansas leads the series 15-6-1, 15 wins, 6 losses, 1 tie. That before overtime, which obviously before this show as well, overtime. But last year, a 44-17 loss here in Little Rock. And listening to Dan Mullen on his teleconference on Sunday, he's concerned with this Arkansas football team, isn't he?
Yeah, very much so. And he said again Monday, he says it isn't like they just dumped all their talent like the Boston Red Sox in the middle of the season. They still got the same guys on the team. He says they're still capable of doing what they did last season on offense, and obviously they're still able to throw the football. And they have struggled against Arkansas in defending the pass. We saw it last season in Little Rock. I thought State had a good shot at least competing and making that competitive game, and Arkansas just really just rolled them over. And I think that's still concerning to Dan Mullen because they still have a lot of the same pieces on that defense here at State, and they have struggled. They've allowed Arkansas to throw for, I think, on average about 335 yards in the last three games in this series, and it's quite concerning because Mississippi State has struggled against spread teams. In fact, that's what they have struggled the most against. A&M, Troy, South Alabama, Tennessee, they have allowed a lot of points in those games and a lot of yards, so that's pretty concerning to Dan Mullen and the defensive staff.
Yeah, when I look at Arkansas' schedule and what they've played, even their last few games, they've been able to gain a lot of yards, and it just seems like when they get to the red zone, they're not able to score. But does it concern you if Arkansas is able to possess the ball and able to get, 400, 500 yards? And lately it's just kind of been their red zone where they've been struggling. But if they're able to do that and keep Mississippi State out on the field, you look for Arkansas to maybe get kind of off that and have a little red zone success.
State's really, the last 3 years, they've tried to kind of pride themselves on their red zone defense. They would give up a lot of yards, but they would always buckle down the red zone. And that hadn't necessarily been the case this year. They're still giving up some yards, but these teams have been able to score once they get in the red zone. But I do think that a lot of that has to do with who they faced in these last three games. But I think that's going to be a really interesting thing to look at in this game, because I do think Arkansas is going to be able to move the ball. And it's going to be interesting to see if Arkansas can actually push through and score, because Mississippi State of late hasn't done a very good job defensively in the red zone, and that's kind of been their staple from Manny Diaz, the defensive coordinator, to now Chris Wilson, and it's kind of faltered a little bit here this season.
Yeah, this game, I look at this game, and I see this might be Arkansas's best chance to win a game, even though their last few, Tulsa, I thought they could win that one. But I believe this game is going to be one in the red zone, because I think both teams from the 20 to 20 can move the ball on each other. I think it's going to be how each team's defense plays the red zone and able to hold the other team to kick and field goals and not touchdowns.
Absolutely. And State, their offense, they have struggled in the red zone these last 3 weeks. Against LSU, they got in the red zone twice in the fourth quarter, even got down as far as a 4-yard line. And they got no points out of it.
That's not good when you need to have success at that point. And, Brandon, obviously the three games that Mississippi State has played going into this Arkansas game, and we all know that the big game for Mississippi State that's left on their schedule is next weekend in Ole Miss, the Egg Bowl. And this Arkansas game is big because they want to get that monkey off their back of not being able to beat Arkansas since Dan Mullen has been there. What's the sense around the football team after this three-game losing streak going into this game with Arkansas Saturday?
I think they're a lot more confident because despite the loss of LSU, they were within 3 points twice in that game. They were even ahead after the first quarter. They had chances. They were down 13 points, got to the red zone, and they suffered back-to-back sacks. I mean, they were close to making that not only a game, but maybe being able to win it, as crazy as it sounds. Remember, they returned an interception for a touchdown with about a minute left to set the final score. So it was very much a game going into the fourth quarter. I think they've got a lot more confidence offensively in what they've been able to do this past week. And defensively, they've done some different things. They've moved guys around. They moved Corey Broomfield from strong safety over to corner a little bit. They put Jay Hughes back there. They've even put Jonathan Banks at linebacker in some strange formations. Their top cornerback is an All-American. They're doing some different things to try and confuse offenses, and I think the players like that, and they're seeing that they're starting to make some more steps here in the last week and a half or so, and I think for that very reason they'll go into this game with a lot of confidence and knowing that they have a chance here to finish the season with 9 wins before going to a bowl game.
That was kind of leading me to my next question. You know, they just played Bama, A&M, LSU. How healthy are they? You know, you play those three teams in consecutive weeks. Are they going to come to this game with all their bullets and be excited and enthusiastic to play? Or are they kind of getting down a little bit after starting? So I know it's kind of like a momentum, like a roller coaster. You know, you win 7 in a row, and then all of a sudden you have 3 tough games, 3 tough losses. Are they going to be healthy and enthusiastic coming into this game?
You know, it's incredible. They're pretty healthy, which has amazed me. I think it's probably the healthiest team Dan Mullen's had since he's been here. I mean, every team goes through injuries, but they only have really one injury right now, and that's Philando Bohanna, one of their backups at middle linebacker. He's got a groin injury. He's questionable. But Darius Perkins, who got injured late last week in practice with a quad strain, he didn't play in the LSU game, but they expect him back. So they're pretty healthy going into this game, which is really it's crazy to me that they're able to hold up, as you say, going against those three teams in a row. And as I said, I think their confidence is getting back up there. I think that they look at the schedule now and they realize that they can beat these next two teams and be able to improve their bowl positioning and be able to win 9 games. And of course, the Egg Bowl, I don't think there'll be any problem for them getting up for that game either.
That is one thing I remember playing at Mississippi State was the cowbells and how loud it is, because I know it's not a big stadium. But are the cowbells still allowed, and is that stadium rocking still? You know, is it real noisy? And, you know, are the cowbells, are they still allowed to have those?
You know what? Yeah, they're allowed to, but they're only allowed to ring them during stoppages of play, which is interesting. Sometimes it's solid, sometimes it's not. But they've actually done a pretty good job with it. And Matt, since last time you played here, they've got this humongous Jumbotron, and they pump up the volume of that thing too.
It's a nice sound system, I will say that, Brandon.
Yeah, it's ear-piercing levels. It is really loud. I think it's, for the size of that stadium, it's the loudest stadium in the SEC when you get to the size aspect of it, I think, just because of what they do. But the cowbells, they only let them do this during stoppages of play, and they'll even on the Jumbotron, they'll do like these flashing lights and everything telling you when and when not to ring your cowbell, because they could be fined, you know, $25,000, the school, if they break that. So it gets pretty loud there, and not just because of the cowbells. They do some things with Jumbotron to make it real loud all the way up until the snap. It's a pretty interesting environment.
Brandon, for Razorback fans that are making the trip over to the game, what are some things to do in Starkville? It's an early kick, so obviously tailgating will be early. Things to do after the game if people wanted to go somewhere and watch some college football.
Yeah, go to if you're looking for a good late lunch or early dinner, I'd go to Restaurant Tyler. It's my favorite place in town. It's right near downtown. And then you'd actually walk from the stadium.
Wait. There's a downtown Starkville?
I knew this joke was coming. No, yeah, there is. And there's a great bar district called the Cotton District. It's got these bars all in a row. In fact, I'm standing in it right now having lunch when you guys call. Really nice. bunch of bars. Everything's real close. And there's a couple of sports bars down there, and there's a Buffalo Wild Wings down the way. There's a couple more sports bars even further down in the Cotton District. It's pretty nice fall environment, especially with the temperature the way it is right now, where it just doesn't get too cold and it's not too warm. It's a really good place. A lot of places to sit outside and watch some games on the big screens they've got set up in downtown.
Now, Randy Rainwater and Rick Schaefer, they know me too well, because they know that after the game, I will be at the Bulldog Deli.
Bulldog, hey, you know what? I kid you not, I'm standing outside Bulldog Deli right now.
That is my stop. Turkey and Swiss on a croissant. Sweet tea. It doesn't get any better than that.
I'll tell you this. They've renamed the place, so watch out. You might miss it. Now called Sweet Peppers. It's actually been kind of a point of argument around here. Everybody's kind of mad that they changed the name.
Really? Well, I might not go in there then. I might have to go to the veranda.
But you're in the Cotton District once you get there.
That's it.
Walk down a little bit further.
Brandon, how about I know it's early in the week, but how about a little prediction time?
I think Mississippi State wins this one. I'd say something along the lines of 31-17, maybe 31-24, something like that. It's going to be a one or two touchdown win for Mississippi State, but I think it'll be close going into the second half.
All right. Brandon Marcello,
thank
we appreciate
you.
Jackson, Clary, and Ledger. We'll see you on Saturday in Starkville.
All right, thanks, guys.